A scaled-down version of the controversial travel ban ordered by U.S. President Donald Trump has come into effect following months of legal wrangling. The 90-day ban targets citizens from six predominantly Muslim countries, namely Iran, Syria, Yemen, Libya, Somalia, and Sudan. All refugees are also barred from entering the United States for 120 days. The U.S. Supreme Court partially reinstated Trump's executive order on Monday. The court ruled that the ban could only be applied to those who lack close family or business ties to the country. The implementation of the ban is drawing reaction both from inside and outside the country. The state of Hawaii has already filed a court challenge to the administration's definition of close U.S. relationship needed to avoid the ban. The Iranian foreign minister has denounced the revised ban in a tweet. Mohammad Javad Zarif described the measure as, quote, a truly shameful exhibition of blind hostility to all Iranians. Meanwhile, people in New York have staged a rally against U.S. President Donald Trump's ban on travelers from several Muslim-majority nations as the executive order takes effect.
No ban, no wall.
No ban, no wall.
New York is for all.
No ban, no wall.
New York is for all.
New York is for all.
No ban, no wall.
We're in a political climate where Muslims are being targeted by bigoted and discriminatory laws, and we need to stand up for those who are the most marginalized.
Even though it's considered a partial travel ban, it does affect people, it does tear families apart, and that we need to look at the lived impacts of this ban and consider that it's affecting the most vulnerable people right now.
We know it's discrimination, we know it's racism, we know it's wrong, Islamophobia, and we're just out here to fight it.
The march was organized by the New York Immigration Coalition and other advocacy groups. Protesters started their rally from New York City's Union Square and marched to various nearby streets. In the meantime, activists in Los Angeles have gathered at the city's international airport, holding placards that welcome travelers and offering them free legal advice. Many other demonstrations are expected to take place in response to Trump's travel ban. Well, to get more on Trump's travel ban, let's go to San Juan in Puerto Rico to talk to Layur Sasti, political commentator. Mr. Sasti, it's so good to have you with us. So what do you think of this revised, so-called revised travel ban that has taken effect? Do you believe that its sole purpose, its main purpose, is to prevent terrorism on the U.S. soil?
Is that it's certainly meant to keep away immigrants from Muslim countries. That is certainly obvious. That is a result, is a product of the air of Islamophobia that many Americans have, and in particular, those belonging to the Republican Party. Not saying that all of them are like that, but there are many, and particularly those in power. And it's interesting to see that those countries, those six Muslim countries that are blacklisted their immigrants for 90 days, for a period of 90 days, after 90 days, their cases will be allowed to proceed. No, people who are not that close relatives, but the thing is that they almost match, those six, with a list that, according to former Supreme Allied Commander of Europe, NATO commander, General Wesley Clark, who was a Democratic Party presidential candidate in the United States, he publicly declared that he saw a memorandum back in 2001 during the George W. Bush administration, a memorandum from the Pentagon headed then by Donald Rumsfeld, that said that there was a list for seven countries, Muslim countries, that they should be invaded and there should be a regime change, as they like to say in Washington, in a period of 5 years. And which countries were those? Well, they were Syria, they were Iraq, they were Iran, they were Lebanon, they were Libya, they were Sudan, and they were Somalia. Iraq was originally in the list of countries whose immigrants would be banned for a period of 90 days. the one presented by Trump in January. They removed it because Iraq is considered an ally, and I'm sure there were strong protests from Baghdad. But the other countries that are in the six current countries whose immigrants are banned and that belong to that hit list from 2001, well, Iran, Syria, Sudan, Somalia, and Libya. So I would say that that Islamophobia in part is inspired by elements who are strongly pro-Israel, most likely not just Jewish Americans, but also I would say Gentiles, Christians, but who are fanatical pro-Israel, and that they consider those countries enemies of Israel. So that, that there is an element of Islamophobia and pro-Israeli, staunch pro-Israeli partisanship in selecting those countries part of that list. That being said, of course, there is also the fear, well, as one should say, that there will be elements that will try to enter the United States as refugees, as immigrants, but in fact, there will be terrorists. And I would be thinking in terms of, well, in the case of Syria, many Sunni Syrians who, for instance, enter Europe in the waves of refugees last year and the previous year, some of them, well, perhaps not many, but some of them have been infiltrated terrorists belonging to groups like Daesh. So perhaps what they want to do is to review each case and see what's the situation, because that's the irony of things.
And Mr. Sasti, you talked of some terrorists who infiltrate European countries, but many attacks, the terrorist attacks that have happened, both some of them that have happened in the U.S. and also in European countries, they have been perpetrated by homegrown terrorists. So what would U.S. officials say to that?
Well, no, it's true. I agree. And people from other countries, I think from Pakistan or from India, Pakistanis, I think that was the case of the one that perpetrated the attack against the Orlando homosexual nightclub. There were Saudis, a Saudi man, and I believe Pakistani wife, the one in Santa Barbara, California. But that's I think they fear, because that's a fact. I mean, one could be in solidarity with the Syrian government, but there are many citizens of that country that turned their guns or took up arms against their legitimate government, instigated by the United States and their allies, and that they are in fact radical Sunni terrorists or extremists. And many of them enter, I would say maybe not many, but some enter the Europe through the waves of hundreds of thousands of people that I'm sure they are innocent. But let us remember something. In the waves of the thousands of refugees that came from Syria and enter Europe, there were many who were young men of military age. Where were their women? Where were their children? That would be the group that would have taken up arms against their legitimate government in Damascus. I think that Trump and their people, they will be concerned that some of those will try to slip into the United States. And they, some of them might be sleeper cells. Others might not be terrorists, might have laid down their arms. That's why they left Syria. They were tired of the situation. They saw that their cause of turning their guns against the Syrian government was hopeless. But because, you know, they are unhappy with the materialistic Western lifestyle, they might turn, you know, pick up arms against the United States. That is up, you know, for the immigration officials to decide.
Okay, but thank you so much.
I would say it's unjust, yes, against Iran. Because Iran, the Iranian people, you know, they are not against the United States per se, you know. There is a hostility between the governments, but not regarding the Iranian people. If there are Iranians who want to go to the United States, it's because they want to start a new life there, not because they are terrorists. And that, I think, is unjust. It's because that prejudice instigated by Israel and by those friends of Israel and the United States that is, in a visceral point of, from a visceral point of view, anti-Iranian, rapidly anti-Iranian.
And thank you so much, Mr. Sasti. I'm afraid that's all the time we have. That was Lajos Sasti, political commentator, joining us live from San Juan in Puerto Rico. Thank you very much.